We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The other side of the ball, the Bills line opening some holes for Thurman Thomas. But again, it was Thurman Thomas left, right, some other things.
They're down and nine.
Some clips of the great Thurman Thomas. Very excited. Let's get right to it. Really excited to welcome the Hall of Famer, Wall of Famer, soon-to-be-retired Jersey dude guy, Thurman Thomas, on our AT&T hotline. Thurman, it's Howard and Brayton. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great, man. Listening to, you do know who that was playing, right? The music, right?
What, are you kidding me, Thurman?
I mean, I don't know, Howard. I mean, I listen to you guys a lot.
I know you do not know
a lot of things.
Yes, do not ask me music. If it wasn't Bruce Springsteen or Billy Joel underneath, I have no idea what it was. I've heard the song. I just don't know who it is.
Okay. All right.
I've heard. No, I am familiar with
the
tune.
I believe it is the Notorious B.I.G.
Ah.
Thank you, yeah. Thank you, Ray.
Yes.
It fits the era.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, no, Howard, I'm doing great. Man, at a Sabres victory last night.
I saw you. You know what? You've probably heard by now. You probably got tweeted by a few people. They showed you, and you did not look happy at the time.
I did not look happy. I mean, it was a serious game, and I wanted to have my game face on.
Okay.
My game face on, and, yeah, but you know what? You know what? They catch you at those times, man, where you don't expect it. You don't know what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, well, hey, at least
sometimes it picking your nose.
You didn't have you weren't buried in a phone. I mean, you were paying attention, so that's good.
I was paying attention. So a nice victory by the Sabres last night.
Thurman, you got to be pumped Monday night. I mean, this is just such a special moment for anybody who has ever played a professional game to have your jersey retired. What does it mean to you? Can you put it into words?
Well, you know what, Howard? I can't really put it into words right now because I was thinking about it the other day and, like, you know what, this could be it for me. I was telling my wife and my kids the other day, it's like, man, I've been in Hall of Fame, college Hall of Fames, and things of that nature. Now I'm having my return. Like, there's really no more things left for me to do within football. But outside of football, I continue to do things in the community. And, yeah, it's a special night. And I actually tell you, I'm getting a little nervous about it for some reason, you know. So – But it's an exciting time, you know, for my wife, for my kids, for the Buffalo fans out there, the organization. And thank you again to Kim and Terry Pegula for, you know, really doing Bruce 2 years ago and, you know, me this year, and two guys that never played for these two owners, and for them to step up to the plate and recognize, you know, how important we were to this Bills organization and his fan base is it's pretty special.
That's got to make it more special for you, right? Going up with 12-78.
Yeah, you know, I was actually, you know what? I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, you know, anybody else besides that? I mean, if they would have retired, you know, say Billy Shaw or somebody like that, you know, I was like, well, I didn't play with Billy, but I played with Jim and I played with Bruce and two guys who I just admired growing up and playing with those guys. Jim on offense, giving me an opportunity to catch the ball and run the football, but him calling his own plays, and to watch Bruce, you know, every year complain about being in a 3-4 instead of a 4-3 and not having a lot of help on his side. But just, you know, two of the greatest here in Bills history. And I'm not talking NFL. You know, I kind of look at players as what they did in their history of the organization that they played for. And to be going up with those two guys, man, is really special for me and my family.
I'm curious whether it was maybe after you got the call and you were notified that they were going to retire your jersey, maybe it'll be Monday if you actually have a moment to think to yourself, who would you be thinking about with a jersey being retired? Who or what are the thoughts that would run through your mind about that?
So many people. I mean, and really, you know, I think I've said a lot about this guy, Elijah Pitts, really helping me throughout my career, through the good times and especially there for the bad times. You know, everybody knows as a Buffalo Bills fan, I had some good times and I had some bad moments that I wish I wouldn't have had, you know, a couple in the Super Bowl. But, you know, it's he's been that guy, man, that I've been there, that looks for me every Monday morning or every Tuesday morning, you know, to come in and sit down in his office and have a talk with. And obviously Marv Levy and the rest of those guys. I mean, just all the coaching staff, the players, the organization. Mr. Wilson, I mean, you know, I became his stepson later on in my career, you know, and that was great. And so there's just a lot of people, Howard. I know I can't talk forever up there on the stage at halftime, but there's so many people that I've thanked and continue to thank over the 12 years, you know, that I played with this franchise.
You had so many great games in your career, but and I'm sure you're asked this quite often. Do you have a favorite one?
I really don't have a favorite, like, individual game or whatever, but I mean, my favorite game, and it wasn't even, you know, it wasn't even a comeback because I really wasn't even a part of
right,
that.
Right.
In the second half, you know, my buddy who's leading the charge this Monday, Kenny Davis, played a big part in that. But I would say the look in the fans' eyes after we beat the Raiders 51-3, going into the fourth quarter, man,
yeah.
Like, this is it. You know, this franchise has never been this far. And to win it here on your home turf where we had a lot of energy every week in and week out. And so that would probably be the moment that I will, you know, relive or say that that's special because it was us, man. It was us and our fans doing it together.
I think, I'm sure every time you guys go back, it's special. But you're right, Thurman, right? There's nothing like the first time, that first ever Super Bowl berth in the history of this franchise. Even though you go back three straight years after that, I'm not sure that anything, maybe from fans' perspective, maybe it's different from your perspective. From my perspective, you couldn't reach that high again because it was the first.
It was the first. I mean, it was the first, like, you know, 1988, first game of the season. First drive of the season against Minnesota, I scored my first NFL touchdown. I mean, that's how special that first time can be. And just, you know, celebrating with, like I said, once again, celebrating with the fans, you know, and after the first time, you know, heartbreaking defeat, you know, we continue to go three more times and just didn't get the job done. But I think if you ask every individual player that was on that football team, you know, going to that first one was what a lot of guys would really talk about.
Thurman Thomas is with us on the AT&T hotline. You know, I can keep you here for like the next 15 hours, but I won't. But I have so many things I want to ask you about. And I don't.
Well, I'm not going to let you because I got another call after this.
Oh, what time? I didn't know. What time are you going to be done? Seriously, what time you got to be done? Okay.
You're good.
I don't mean the next question to sound like it, when people are asked about their legacy, it feels like you're saving the response for when they're dead. So I don't mean this that way. But when you think about your career, okay, stat lines, you know, the all-around back that you were, the Super Bowl burst, people still look at your 91 season and say it's one of the best seasons ever put together by a running back in the history of the game. When you look back at your career, is there something you want to be known for or are most proud of?
You know, I would say for me, lead the league 4 years in a row from total yards from scrimmage.
Yep.
I would say that would probably be, you know, my biggest achievement, I think. Doing that from a position that, you know, was used to just running the football and not really catching and lining up playing wide receiver. You know, I was utilized a lot in the passing game, but probably those 4 years and really breaking one of my idols, Jim Brown's record, who held it for 3 years.
Yep.
And so, yeah, probably that, you know, and that's kind of what I based my career on, because I wanted to be a back that was out there on first, second, and third down.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to do that a lot with the Buffalo Bills, you know, just by keeping me in there, having me a threat being in the passing game, but also having somebody back there that was waiting to stick their nose in a line of scrimmage if a linebacker or a defensive back blitz, you know, to protect Jim and help the offensive line. So I think with those 4 years in a row that I led the league in total yards from scrimmage, you know, just remember me as being an all-around back that was always out on the football field, first, second, and third down.
Murph was on with us last hour, Thurman, and he made that point. I mean, there are plenty of running backs who get running backs, you know, the rushing stats, and there are plenty of running backs who can get the receiving stats, but not everybody can be trusted on to be out there in blitz pickup and protecting your quarterback. Did you take a lot of pride in that?
I took a lot of pride in that, and actually, you know what, Howard, that started my freshman year at Oklahoma State. After like the sixth or seventh game, I became the starter, and we were going through practice one day, and we did it was like a live drill, like a blitz pickup drill, but it was actually live, and it was actually against a guy who played here for a year. Remember the linebacker, Matt Monger?
A little bit. I remember the name. I'm having a tough time recalling.
Okay, well, we ran a play, and he blitzed, and I did not pick it up very, very well. And my head coach and my running back coach screamed at me like there was no tomorrow.
Huh.
And we ran that play over again, and I did my job, and I did it. Well, actually, down that play, I gave Matt Monger a concussion.
And, oh, man.
And I felt like, you know what? In order for me to be a complete player, this is what I have to do. And it just continued throughout my college and my professional career. You know, this is my job. If you don't do it well, you're going to get screamed at, or you're going to get talked about,
right,
you know, through your coaches and some of your players. And so I had that attitude. This is what I had to do.
I only got a couple things for you, Thurman. I'll pare down the
no
list.
Problem.
When you, I was not here when you got drafted. So when you were first drafted in '88, how much did you know, if anything, about either Buffalo or the team at that point, who was on the roster, stuff like that?
I knew a little bit, obviously. I knew about O.J. Simpson.
Yep.
I knew about the electric company. You know, I didn't know, you know, even up to that point, about the 64, 65 AFL teams. I knew about Jim Kelly because he was at the Houston Gamblers and then left and came up here to Buffalo. So I knew of that. I knew of Darryl Talley, Cornelius Bennett. I knew of all Bruce Smith. I knew of all those guys. And, you know, when I got drafted by Buffalo, I heard Buffalo, but I also heard New York.
So you thought you're going to the city, huh?
Exactly, man. Growing up a huge, sorry, Hank Howard, a Yankee fan.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, man, I'm going to be at the Knicks game. I'm going to be at the Yankee Stadium. I'm going to be at everything, you know. Just, man, the mecca of sports.
Yeah.
You know, because I hadn't been no prayer past Nebraska, probably. You know. So I had no idea, but I knew New York City, man. But I got here, it was a big surprise, but you know what? Once I got into the city and started meeting some of the people, it reminded me of Stillwater, Oklahoma, and it reminded me of home. A small town, friendly people, you know, and I think that's what really caught my eye, that, you know, this is the place I want to be.
I'll tell you what, I'll close with the sappy, soppy question here. See, I think, Thurman, obviously, you know, your career endears yourself to Bills fans. Obviously, those are, you know, for many Bills fans, myself included, those are the glory years, you know, when you guys were just like the talk of the NFL. But one of the things I really love about you and your teammates in those teams is the bond you guys formed after football. And you've talked about it over the years. I sorry to bring up a sad time, but I remember talking to a whole bunch of you guys when Kent Hull passed away. And that really, over the years, you and Kelly, Bruce, I mean, all these guys, you, Daryl, you're all there for each other when there have been some struggles in your lives. And to me, that's one of the most heartwarming things of this, is not just what you guys did on the field, but the guys you've all turned into and how you've all been there for each other all these years later.
Well, you know what, we see that a lot, and we hear that a lot now, because when we do go places, you know, we kind of put in our schedule places that we want to meet and you know, if guys can make it. You know, we like to have about at least 4 to 6 guys be at a certain spot. If it's a, you know, golf tournament in Florida or whatever, we actually go through our schedule to see if we can spend, you know, time together. And when we do that, and when we have done that over the past years, you know, other people see that. Other people, other guys, you know, other players from other teams see that, and they're like, man, I mean, I played with guys that won Super Bowls, and we're not even that close, yeah. You know, and you know, and that's like Joe Montana and Ronnie Lott and Roger Craig, you know, those guys always say, you know, we never hardly see any, we hardly ever see each other. But I think the bond between us players and what we try to accomplish, you know, it's out there in the community, people around the United States know how we feel about each other, and you know what, we're a family, and especially from what Jim has gone through over the past couple of years, you know, they see Jim. You know, people ask me all the time, how's Jim, how's Jim, how's Jim? And I continue to tell his story and continue to tell how he's doing, and even with Daryl. So, I mean, it's just been a close-knit family. And but one person that we always go back to is Mr. Wilson.
Yeah.
Mr. Wilson has always been that guy that we all go back to and say, you know what, this is the guy that started a great family here with the Buffalo Bills.
Please promise me you won't get emotional during your speech, okay? Because if you start crying, we're all going to start crying.
I'll try not to.
Okay.
I don't know. I've gone over my speech a number of times, and it gets to a certain point where I almost got to stop. And so hopefully Monday it won't be that way. I can just breeze right through it, and hopefully the Bills are kicking some ass too.
Yeah, well, that if you could give them a nice speech, maybe get in the locker room before the game and rally the boys and tell them to go out there and kick Belichick and Brady's you-know-what all over the field.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm really looking forward to it, Howard. It's going to be a great night, and get to see a lot of my former teammates and friends and family. And so just hoping that everything turns out well for the Bills, but it'll be special Monday night at halftime.
Well, I know, Thurman, I talk for all the Bills fans that are listening right now to say thank you for your career. But I, you know, I'm not, you know, blowing smoke up your you-know-what. It was an honor covering guys like you and Kelly and Bruce to see and Andre, to see greatness on a regular basis. It's one of the greatest thrills of my entire career in this business. So thank you for giving us some time this morning. It's a well-deserved honor, and enjoy it all on Monday night.
All right, Howard. Thank you. Have a great weekend, man.
Yeah, and that's Thurman on the AT&T hotline. By the way, we'll make that our insider segment. I think we're cool making Thurman the insider. Brought to you by Northwest. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. And by Reed's Gens, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. Believe me, that was not an easy thing to say all those nice things to a Yankee fan. Okay, Thurman gives me crap whenever he sees me. I think there was one year at the GR golf tournament. I wore a Mets cap. Man, he was ripping me up one side and down the other. And every time I see him, he's either making fun of the Mets or my ridiculously bad golf game. He borrowed my driver one time, and I think he dented it. But whatever, we'll let it go. I wasn't want to bring that up. It really is. You know, I don't want to – I think I've said this before. There's a fine line between enjoying the past but living in the past. And it's a rough time right now. You know, there have been a lot of down years for the Bills since the careers of Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, and those guys ended. And, you know, there are times that I know I find myself like yearning for those days. And, you know, will it ever be like that? And, oh, it used to be so good. And you can't live in the past while you don't forget the past. But, man, whenever we do these shows, whenever we have this moment, like I said, you know, I know, you know, whenever one of these guys goes into the Hall of Fame in Canton, whenever we get a point where we bring up something or talk, it really reminds me of some incredible times. And, you know, with guys like that, I just always hear in my head the voice of Bill Polian, who might have been the day he announced he was leaving the organization. He said something about I wish I knew the exact quote. Something about, you know, cherish these guys, cherish these times, whatever. You'll never see their likes again. And I kind of laugh now because who knew he was seeing the future. But I'm not kidding. I mean, right? As a fan, you know what I'm talking about. If you're old enough to have seen these guys, you know, if you were there from the late 80s, from 88 to say 90 through 93, to see that run, you know what I'm talking about. These guys were the talk of the league. Like, it was, you know, people looked, People wanted to be the Bills. Like, fans were envious of Bills fans. They wanted a team like we had. Like, they were, you know, they're putting up all these points, and they're running the K-gun, the no huddle, and they're scoring over 400 points and everything. And they are the team that people looked up and said, boy, why can't our offense be like that? You know, it's ironic. We're pointing this out, considering where we are right now with the Bills offense. But, like, they were the kings of the AFC. I mean, I know, you know, they never win a Super Bowl, but I think one of the other nice things, I didn't bring this up with Thurman, but I think one of the other cool things about those guys is it was so rough when they were playing. You get back to the Super Bowl, and of course, these guys would show up at Super Bowl week, and they'd be barraged with questions the second, third, and for sure the fourth one. Oh, you guys are back again. Oh, and, you know, they would hear all the stories about, please, anybody but the Bills in the Super Bowl. Oh, my God, I can't believe the Bills are back again. So it was tough at the moment, right? But I think what's really cool over time, yeah, 0-4, I get it. But I think over time, people have come to appreciate that they went back four straight. They went to four straight Super Bowls. That after the heartbreak of wide right, they came back and won and lost to Washington and came back and got blown out by Dallas and came back and should have won that last Super Bowl against the Cowboys. That was the one. That was the one. I know the Giants game comes down to the kick. I swear to my dying day, I will tell you, at halftime in the Georgia Dome, I was convinced they were going to win the Super Bowl that day. I was that game was in the bag. I felt so good about that. Anyway.
But I thought it was well documented in the Four Falls of Buffalo, that documentary. Just like they went into the half, what, leading that game?
Yeah.
And they just seemed like they didn't have anything left in their tank. Yeah. It was just like everything was run out.
Man, I remember I went to stretch my legs. I'm walking around the concourse at the Georgia Dome, and I'm thinking, it's our day. It's happening. They're going
to
win.
Do you think there's ever going to be a team like the Bills that gets to the championships like that can never just get it?
It's tough to get there.
It's very tough to get there. But, I mean, like, look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers just barely lost the World Series last year.
Yeah.
They're probably going to lose the World Series again this year to Boston. And then they're still one of the better teams in the NL. But they could easily make it back to another two World Series consecutively.
I guess I might have said the Cavs with LeBron would have been the closest thing because they kept running into the Golden State Warriors. But they won one, right. I just think, Brayton, first off, it's so hard for anybody to get to four straight. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
And if you're winning like the Bills are, let's say can the Rams, you know, are the Rams going to be on top for four straight years? If you're winning, contracts come up, guys get paid, there's a salary cap, all these different issues factor into play. Can you keep a team together for a four-year run to the championship game in your sport? It's really, really hard to do in this day and age. So by the way, if someone does pull it off, I hope they win a game because no one should have to go through what the Bills players went through amidst four straight appearances in that game and being the butt of jokes. You know, like Minnesota lost four Super Bowls, but they weren't consecutive, and they ended up being, you know, the punchline because they kept going back and losing the game. Anyway, our thanks to Thurman. Should be I'm sure everybody will give him a fantastic standing ovation Monday night when they retire his jersey, just the third number retired by the Bills to join 12, Jim Kelly, and 78, Bruce Smith. All right, Scaff on the way in a moment. So the Bills don't play till Monday, but there are plenty of football games on Sunday. Brayton's going to give us the rundown. We'll get you ready for the action coming up. A lot of good games on the docket for Sunday's schedule. Let us get you a Win Cash code before we hit our break. The word is SAFE. S-A-F-E. Text SAFE to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. You have until 10 o'clock to send the code word in. Again, text SAFE. S-A-F-E. To 72881. That is our latest chance for you to win $1,000. Shope and the Bulldog will have four more code words this afternoon as we play the National Win Cash Contest on WGR.
Football! Super, super, great, great American football Friday. Frenzy.
It is time to talk football and get you ready for all the action. Of course, the week kicked off last night. Houston beating Miami 42-23. What are we in, week 8?
Yes.
The week will end Monday night when the Bills take on the New England Patriots at New Era Field. But in between, we have some games on Sunday to talk about, Mr. Wilson.
Yes, we do, in the wonderful world of football. And, of course, that all starts at 9:30 in the a.m. Who doesn't like some morning football? Jaguars-Eagles. Wembley Stadium. Tale of two teams that are faltering this season, especially the Jaguars, who've, what, lost four straight now?
Three, I think, yeah.
Yeah, the Jaguars aren't as good as we thought they were, I guess. Line is Philadelphia -3. The Jaguars, they're gonna stick with Blake Bortles, I guess.
Looking at his leadership, looking at, you know, a lot of things that he can do. You know, we're excited about that and going. I think, you know, we have a good understanding of what needs to be done. But at the same sense, you know, it's hard for me as a coach to control the message of what's going on the outside. It's not just that one position. You know, it's everyone.
It's funny, the Jags. I'm listening to Doug Marrone saying, looking at this, looking at that, maybe looking at the fact that Cody Kessler is his backup quarterback. As you know, the Bills' offense is the worst in the league. Hey, the Jags have 116 points in seven games. That's under 20 a game. So Bortles has been struggling. He was yanked from the game last week. I wonder, the Jags' defense is still playing pretty well. I wonder if they're going to begin, you know, to drop, to basically feel the weight of carrying that football team with an offense that is doing next to nothing, and if that's going to begin to affect the way the Jags' defense is playing. By the way, in that division, Houston has their act together. They really didn't look that good against the Bills. I mean, the Bills should have won that football game, but Houston's won five straight since their 0-3 start, and they're, you know, the Jags and the Titans have to be careful now that Houston doesn't create a little separation in the AFC South, because the Jags and Titans are sitting at 3-4. So, go Eagles!
Go Eagles.
Fly, Eagles, fly. I think that's the name of their song.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Yes.
Then we get to the 1 o'clock game, starting with the Bills' next two opponents after the Patriots, the Bears and the Jets. The Bears last week coming up very close to beating New England on home field. They'll be playing the Jets this week, who the Jets, they know how to force turnovers, kind of like the Bills, I guess. But Mitch Trubisky knows they have to take care of the football.
Be aggressive and try to make plays for this offense. But it's a very fine line, and I'm still figuring it out. And I just got to continue to take care of the football. There's some throws you see where I'm being aggressive, and it's definitely helping this offense. So I'm going to continue to stay aggressive. Coach Nagy has my back all the way, which I appreciate. My teammates have my back, which I appreciate. So I'm trying to make plays for this offense. But I know I got to take care of the football. That's the number one thing for this offense to be successful. We take care of the football, play great defense while we chance every single game.
By the way, the line in this game is Chicago -8.
That's
a little surprising.
And this is interesting because I like watching Red Zone Channel. I tend to turn it on for the late games after the Bills are done playing so I can see what's going on. And, you know, the Bills are off, so I could sit there at 1 o'clock and turn on Red Zone. But I think I'm going to watch this game instead. We're getting the Jets-Bears game on Channel 4 because it is the Bills' next two opponents in large part. I want to see how Darnold looks. I haven't really seen him since the first two, three games of the season. I've kind of lost track of watching him. And I don't think I've watched a single Bears game yet this season, so I'd like to see how Trubisky is progressing. I think from our perspective here, I think that's a really interesting game to check out on Sunday. So I'm all over that one.
I probably will be as well. I'll probably try and tune in here to see what's going on.
The Jets are having a lot of receiver injury issues. They brought in Rishard Matthews. I think Anunwe is hurt. Maybe Robbie Anderson's banged up. So Darnold is dealing with a very depleted receiving core going into this game.
Bengals, Buccaneers in Cincinnati. Line is 3.5 for the Bengals, -3.5. And I don't know what I'm looking forward to this game. I mean, the Buccaneers have been kind of whatever this season. They're 3-3. I think they should be worse than 3-3, but Jameis Winston managed to find a way to lead them to a win, I guess, last week, but against the Browns in overtime.
The Browns
just keep going to overtime games.
Oh my goodness. The Bengals,
I think it's hilarious.
The Bengals, what is it? It's how many of them? At least four, right? At least four of their seven games, I think, have gone into overtime. The Bengals got off to a good start. You know, remember they came in here, they looked good in the preseason game. They had a good start in September, and we thought, wow, maybe you know, the Steelers kind of were a little slow out of the gate, and we were looking at it going, maybe the Bengals are going to win that division. But they've kind of they're still 4-3, but their defense is struggling. They're having problems stopping teams. I think we're working our way back to the is this Marvin Lewis's final season in Cincinnati discussion that we seem to have on a regular basis.
Up next, Seattle and Detroit matchup in Detroit as the 3-3 Lions look to upend the 3-3 Seahawks. That NFC North division just continues to look really interesting beyond Minnesota. Minnesota's obviously 4-2-1. The Packers are 3-2-1, and then the Lions and Bears are tied 3-3.
I think if you make the argument, I think you can make the argument top to bottom, okay, including all four teams in the division. That's the best division in the league this year.
For sure.
You know, you have Green Bay and Minnesota, who should both end up in the playoffs, but you have a Bears team that is certainly a team on the rise. We talked about them a moment ago. You know, their defense is much improved. Trubisky's still making too many mistakes, but they're top 10 in scoring. And now all of a sudden, guess what? Detroit found a running game, which they haven't had in forever. Kerryon Johnson, the kid from Auburn, has brought a little balance to the offense. So, you know, it's been kind of Matt Stafford solo in the passing game. You add that in, defense still isn't, you know, where it needs to be. Maybe Matt Patricia will be able to fix that. But I think 1-4, again, you take in all four teams, and I think that has now turned out to be the most competitive, best division in the league.
Line in that game is -3 in favor of Detroit. I can see that just because Seattle overall, I mean, they still have Russell Wilson, which he's a key factor, but outside of that, their defense isn't that great anymore. They're certainly changing the tides in Seattle. Now we go to the AFC West, a big divisional matchup as the Denver Broncos go to Kansas City to face the Red Hot Chiefs, who just lost last week to New England, but they're still one of the best teams in the NFL.
I mean, I feel like every game against AFC West opponent is a tight one. It's always something that comes down to the end of the game. And I feel like with Coach Reed, I mean, he's just prepared us for every situation. And we've gotten lucky enough to come out on top of most of those games. And hopefully we can keep that trend going.
That's Patrick Mahomes, by the way. And outside of the Bills-Patriots game, I think this is the next biggest line, Kansas City -9.5.
Yeah, and you can see why. I mean, they're such a dominant offense. Now, you know, the thing is, Kansas City's defense does a pretty good job of keeping the other team in the game, but they're so explosive on offense. Denver, you know, that's a team that's kind of faded since the start of the season. They're 3-4. There's talk about Vance Joseph and his job security. Have you looked at Patrick Mahomes' stat line this season lately?
I know he's been awesome fantasy-wise.
He's 6-1. 64% completion. He's thrown for 2,223 yards.
Yeah, he's good.
In not quite half a season, 22 touchdowns and 5 picks. Yes, sir.
You want to know why Jeremy's not in today? Because he's sitting in the Patrick bunker. Mahomes fear bunker,
he's
hunkering
bunker.
Down for this game because, yeah.
I think he'll add to his numbers.
If Von Miller and Bradley Chubb cannot get to Patrick Mahomes, he's going to throw all over the Broncos.
What used the formerly no-fly zone, which is now very flyable against.
Flyable? Yes, I guess that's...
Sure, why not?
We make up words on the
show.
We
never worry
time.
About grammar, correct grammar stopping us.
Okay, NFC East matchup, Giants-Redskins. Redskins are better than they probably should be, and the Giants are a train wreck of a team.
Yeah, and they've started moving parts. We'll see if anything else happens before the trade deadline. They're 1-6 for the second consecutive season, and I'm guessing Giants fans, while happy with how Saquon Barkley has looked, are wondering about, hey, maybe we should have drafted a quarterback. Yes, sir, go ahead.
I said, don't forget my stat that I told you guys earlier. Since the beginning of last season, Giants 1-7 against NFC East opponents.
Right. Yeah, so nothing in their division.
Yep.
Yeah, that's terrible.
They're a terrible team. Yeah. They really need to trade Eli Manning if possible.
Yeah, well, there's that speculation, would Jacksonville be interested because of Coughlin down there and maybe, you know, Eli, you'd think, even though it looks like he's better than Blake Bortles.
I would be taking whatever I can get for Eli Manning
point. Yeah.
Just then you got Kyle Laletta.
Kyle Laletta and Alex Tanney. Trick shot quarterback guy, I think, is number 2 on their depth
chart. Was on the Bills at one point.
Yeah.
Next up, Browns, Steelers. Browns, I think they're a better team than what they have been. Baker Mayfield also thinks so.
Got to eliminate the minus plays. You know, we had two penalties. One penalty on the first drive, penalty on the second drive, and then third drive had a negative run. If we do our job, eliminate those things, we'll be in a much better position to take points. And any points are good points. We got to, you know, field awareness. We got to score when we have a chance. And we got to do that, you know, and be proud to do that.
Steelers are -8.5 at home in this game.
Brown should have won that game. I mean, they should have beaten. Pittsburgh turned the ball over so much that day. It's a miracle that thing actually went to overtime.
And they tied.
Yeah.
And, they tied.
But now Pittsburgh's playing better. You know, no problem not having Le'Veon Bell. They've gotten their act together. They're, you know, it's close, but they're at the top of the division. They seem to be getting their game around just in time to extend their streak against it's not a win streak now. It's an unbeaten streak because of the tie, but extend their streak against the Browns.
On to the next matchup, because we're running short on time here already. Ravens. Well,
you got plenty of time.
Okay. Ravens-Panthers, 1 o'clock matchup from, of course, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Ravens' defense continues to be one of the best defenses in the entire NFL.
Those guys, you move around, they, you know, possess a lot of different, you know, problems for offenses.
Cam Newton, by the way. It's,
you know, they disguise so much. They got guys that play fast, and they understand what they're doing. When you got a very, just as much veteran leadership as they have on that team, is guys that they know exactly what they want to do and how to attack the offense, you know, that's an added advantage.
And Ravens have given up 101 points in 7 games this season. That is the, I'm just double checking, that is the lowest point total in the league. You know what? They gave up 24. To the Saints last night, I think it was 24, and yet they did about as good a job as I've seen people do against Drew Brees. So, and Flacco's doing better than I thought, and their upgraded receiving corps helped him out a little bit. Ravens are a little better than I thought they were going to be this season.
Ravens are -2.5 for this one, so they seem to be favored here against Carolina. Now we go to the 4 o'clock games: Raiders, Colts. I just wanted to play this because I'm interested to hear what John Gruden has to say and how much more he could embarrass himself. Hey, John, will the team make any more trades?
I don't see us making any more trades. I didn't see us making a trade the other day. I really didn't. But sometimes, like I said, your plans change, whether you like it or not. You don't know who's going to call you and what they're going to say. You really don't. That goes in all phases of life. But I don't see us making any more trades, but I'll never say never again to anybody. If I said never to you, I'm sorry. I don't think I did.
Smart philosophy.
Just shooting himself in the foot, reloading, and just keep shooting.
What a disaster.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, it's such a disaster.
For John Gruden. And what a disaster. The Colts, by the way, are -3 in this game, so they're favored by 3 points.
You know, honestly, the Colts are good. I know they're 2-5, but they've had a lot of close losses, and then, of course, they beat up the Bills. Their offensive line is much improved. I like Mac. Luck looks really good.
They just gotta have some more depth.
Yeah, well, they've had a run of injuries. And
they will have Jack Doyle
them.
Back, and their tight end group might
be with him and Ebron now. That's but
might be really good.
Yeah, I was really, and Frank's done a nice
Hilton
job
is
out there.
Back on the field, hopefully healthy.
Yeah,
So the Colts
are
favored
in
that
a good
one.
Good direction. Yes, I think
even though they're in Oakland. We'll wrap things up here with 3 more games left to talk about: the Rams and Packers. That one coming from Los Angeles. The Rams looking to extend their winning streak to 8 straight games, going 8-0 to start the season. They're back home after 3 straight road games. So they're favored by 9.5.
Well, they are unbeaten.
I know they're unbeaten, but they're playing a Packers team that, I mean, the defense isn't that great, but they got Aaron Rodgers still. And Aaron Rodgers is hurt, but I don't think it should be that big.
It is a big spread.
Here's a game that I don't think anyone will care about in the history of history. The Cardinals and the 49ers are playing in Arizona. San Francisco's favored by 1 in that game.
You're wrong. Josh Rosen, any game he plays in, I care about. Fear bunker.
It's not as extensive as Patrick Mahomes' fear bunker right now. And then, well,
Rosen's not doing much.
And then Sunday Night Football, perhaps the game of the week: Vikings Saints. Very good matchup from Minneapolis. Rematch of last year's divisional matchup when Stephon Diggs had the walk off touchdown with no time left on the clock. Should be very good. The Saints 5-1. They got Eli Apple now. They're looking pretty good.
And that is Scaff. So when we get back, we'll put a bow on the show. And you know what? I'll tell you what. Bring to the table, we've had a number of stats of the day today about the Buffalo Sabres and their 6-4 start. Bring to the table your favorite stat of the day. We'll share that next, and it'll set everybody up for the Instigators at the top of the hour on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Should be a fun show with Instigators coming up. Here's my favorite stat of the day. The Sabres won their 6th game of the season last night on October 25th. Last season, they didn't get their 6th win of the season until November 24th. Like that
I'm one. Good with that stat.
Going with that one?
Yeah.
They're a month ahead of where they were last year. All right, lots to get you from the game last night. Nice win for the boys. Craig and Andrew, we're going to break it down in a moment. Hey, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your Sunday off. Be ready to talk football with us bright and early Monday morning on WGR.
T-Mobile. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.